Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting. Today is Monday, July 8th, 2024. And to begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded, and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining this meeting. If anyone is joining through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. And if you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. So
recording in advance, in progress.
Thank you. And I would request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking, because that helps us eliminate any external noise. Thank you. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters on this meeting with us. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name and then your comments, because it helps the interpreter in doing their job well. It also helps people who are listening on the phone calls. And when people listen to the meeting audio afterwards, it helps them in knowing who the speaker was at the time. We also request speakers to briefly describe themselves when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and I have long dark hair. Chair Calabria, at this time, I can read the meeting agenda and then I can take the roll call of the committee members if you concur.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, thank you. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. And if somebody could confirm, I would appreciate that.
I see it.
Okay, thank you. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Afterwards, Chair Kalabi and the committee will review and approve today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We have Raphael Alfred and Kusharm Hamilton to discuss Metro bus seats material. After that, we will have Cherianne Santos. She will give us an update about whiteboards in Metro Rail stations. It is that time again when the BRS discusses work plan. So the committee will discuss and talk about the topics that the committee would like to discuss in the upcoming months. Following up from our previous conversation from the committee, we can briefly touch base about an update concerning the Prince George's County officials' correspondence. So Chair Calabia and a few other members who had discussed it at the last meeting, they can talk about that. At 5:45, we will take public comments, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now and going to the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura, Danis Bush,
alert,
Tino Calabria,
present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaffin. Steve had informed that he's going to try and join. However, there may be some connection issues for him. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell?
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell?
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner?
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray?
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush?
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samuelfield? Patrick Sheehan? Patrick is actually at a conference today, so he may not be able to join. Kelly Simono? And Philip Weintraub? Okay, Chair Calabia, that concludes the roster for today's meeting.
I think Patrick tried to call and talk, but he was muted.
Oh, okay. Thank you for letting me know.
Yes.
Thank you. I also want to state that any members of the public, if you'd like to make comments, either please send me a chat message so that I can put your name on the list, or when we begin the public comments section, please try to raise your hands if feasible, or so that we can put the names in the order and we can take the members of the public in the order received. As a general practice, we have 2 minutes per speaker, so please be considerate of that. So we just want to make sure that any members of the public who would like to make comments have an opportunity to do so during that section. Chair Calabia, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Sure. First thing we have to do is approve the agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
No, move.
Motion.
A second?
Seconded.
Thank you. No objections. We approve the agenda. The last meeting minutes were briefly discussed at the AAC meeting last Monday. And I'll remind you that we discussed in our June meeting the Better Bus Network redesign. We also talked about our visit to L'Enfant Plaza to view with Sarah Myers the wayfinding signs. Those are the main topics. Hopefully you've reviewed the agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda of last month?
Moved. So moved.
Actually, we're approving the minutes from last month.
Yes, the minutes. Thank you. Thank you. And the a second for the minutes approval?
I second the minutes approval.
Thank you. Any objections to approving the minutes of last month's meeting? Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. Now we can move on with the agenda itself. Anu, do you want to introduce our guests?
Sure. So I see that Ray Alfred has joined. And Ray, if you'd like to take a moment and introduce anybody else who's joined with you, because I just don't want to miss anyone who's here.
No, you are not missing anybody. It is okay. Just me this evening.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
All right. Sure. Ray, if you let me know if you'd like me to share your screen, or would you like to do that?
If it's okay, I'll go ahead and share mine.
Sure. Please go ahead.
Let me show you the right way here.
Anu, if necessary, remember I sent you a picture of the seats. So if Raphael doesn't have them, we have pictures that I sent.
Sure. So afterwards we can share that. Thank you.
And there, included in the presentation are a couple of examples of the seats as well. I welcome the sharing of additional pictures because, you know, inside the bus, how we each take pictures can be just a little bit different, and yours may show up a little bit better than mine do. So if I could, I'll introduce myself. I am the full name is Raphael Alfred. pronounced Rayfield, so I asked everybody to please call me Ray. I am the Assistant Chief Fleet Officer for BUS. Have been with the authority now for just about 20, actually tomorrow will make 23 years. I've been with the authority in a variety of
congratulations.
Roles. Thank you so much. I am a native Washingtonian. For those that may not be able to see, I have no hair. So this is a new describing myself. So I'm here to tell you a little bit about an initiative that we started late last calendar year, late in 2023. To transition the bus fleet over to from cloth seats to vinyl seats. So I'll start right off in the presentation here. Just this is part of our strategic transformation plan, all with the goal of trying to improve the customer experience for Metrobus customers and become a little bit similar to what our customers are currently seeing on Metro Rail. So the vinyl seats that you'll start seeing, if you have not already seen or experienced them, is very, very, very similar to the experience on a rail system with the brand new rail cars, the 7000 series rail cars, and again, also be represented on the 8000 series fleet once that is introduced. Not only does it improve the customer experience, it also has a great impact on cleanliness. Cleanliness and, you know, from my personal opinions, the smell on the bus, as the fabric won't be able to retain, it won't, the vinyl won't be able to retain some of the smells that cloth seats can. And just from a maintenance perspective, just again, we'll be able to keep the fleet just a little bit cleaner. My next slide, so we started in December 2023. We awarded contracts or procurements to two different seat manufacturers that represent the two different types of seats that we have throughout the bus fleet. They are not replacing the entire seat, but just replacing the upholstery. So the cushioning as well as the seat covering. We have been able to replace seats on about 60 buses thus far. To date, it was a combination of efforts. This small effort with our a few small purchases that we made just to start testing it out, and then through our midlife overhaul program. So once the buses become about 6 to 7 years old, we actually completely revamp the bus and make them like new. So we're doing it both our existing buses. We're replacing the seat upholstery, but then also through our midlife program. And then also through a third way that's not mentioned on here, our new bus procurement. So all new buses from this point forward will be coming with vinyl seats, again, matching what we see, what you experience today on the rail system. So while we've gotten about 60 or so buses done thus far, across multiple garages. So those that are familiar with our bus garages in DC, it would be Bladensburg and Shepherd Parkway. In Maryland, it is the Landover Garage, Bus Garage, and our Montgomery Bus Garage. So what does that mean in terms of service? These buses will be showing up in places like Southeast DC, operating out of the Anacostia rail station, but also some of the more crosstown bus routes like the H line or the X2, and then the Montgomery routes and some of the routes in Prince George's County. And that's not to stay out of Virginia with this effort, but that will be coming shortly as we move forward in our next phase of this process. So right now, actually this week, we'll be meeting with vendors to finalize schedules and delivery schedules in particular for the larger fleet. plan, you know, get finalized that schedule. We expect that we will be able to complete this process by spring of next year. We're working aggressively to try to improve the internal experience, the experience there on board the bus. Just walking onto a bus that's been transitioned, it majorly makes a difference. Some other things just finished talking about vinyl seats on the bus. We're actually exploring a few other opportunities to improve the experience for customers. One complaint that we've heard is that there's just not enough space to move around on buses. And so we're exploring a couple of things there that other transit agencies have actually implemented. In the pictures that are on the screen now, they depict flip-up seats. So there's a couple of different styles of flip-up seats that are at other transit agencies in use. So we're looking at possibility of introducing those in a small scale to collect customer feedback and see if it's something that makes sense for our bus fleet. Again, we've implemented a number of things over the years, like ability to bring strollers and shopping carts onto the bus. So by making extra space, it really helps all of our customers out. We have a few other things that I'm not quite ready to share just yet, but we'll be sure to come back to this group. One of those things includes the exploration of the quantum wheelchair restraint, automatic wheelchair restraint, just so that we get some actual experience on a very, very, very small scale. Before that bus, once we are able to transition that bus, one bus, with that particular device, we would like to come back to this group to allow opportunity for you to experience it firsthand before we actually put it into service, both with the vinyl seats, these flip-up seats, the quantum restraint, automatic restraint. The whole goal is to collect feedback, to not say no without actually trying it out, exploring it and seeing what the impacts are from just the general improvement of what's available for the Metrobus customers. I think that was my last slide. Yeah, so I don't know if this is the time for questions or if you wanted to wait for the end, but I'm happy to answer any questions that may the committee here may have.
Sure, Chair Calabria.
Yes, would you be able to share at this time the picture that I sent from Greater Washington?
Okay, give me a moment and I'll pull up your email. So
sure. And while you're doing that, Ray, are the new seats padded?
Yes, they are. And so this is not just a matter of changing from cloth to vinyl. They actually take the full seat pan out. So it's a plastic backing that supports the seat. They take that out. They put new padding on it, actually a little bit more padding, before they put the vinyl on. And it's a complete. It's like it's a brand new seat almost.
Another thing, Ray, I forwarded at least one or two photos of padded seats that actually had good examples of different icons related to our needs.
Okay.
Anu, would you have that one?
I'm trying to pull up.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'll display as soon as I can find that.
Sure.
I'll share those with you afterwards.
Ray, these padded seats that I saw, and it was way back in 2018. And these padded seats had great icons. In fact, they were in the picture, there are adjoining padded seats, and each has if I recall correctly, three icons, each one, the kind of icons that you would expect in terms of accessibilities. And now, since this was back in 2018 and they were padded seats, I imagine that it's possible to put the icons on our new seats, even though they're so new, correct?
So we actually are exploring with our marketing team and communications team the change out of a host of icons, decals that are on the buses. The putting decals on the seats themselves may present a challenge. I assume that you're asking about those, about priority seats.
Oh, well, yes, at least the priorities. Yes.
We actually, so we're going through an effort now to replace the, because there's a decal that appears on the windows.
Yes.
That we're in the process of replacing, because there are, I think, four decals now scattered around the bus that we're trying to make clear. As far as the message, use national symbols instead of ones that somebody may like versus something else, so that there's commonality.
Of course.
And standardization. That's still a little ways away. We're not quite ready to roll that out, but sharing those pictures that you shared would certainly help that effort out.
Right. And for the record, I heard you just say that the buses will be equipped with the quantum automatically belted seats. Could you describe that again? The term, I might have gotten the term wrong, but it's
sure. Forgive me for the term, but it is a wheelchair or automatic wheelchair securement device.
Guess what, Ray? I recommended that years before the COVID, and I'm glad that finally it's being Ray, there are padded seats that have the display decals, and the new bus seats that are already on the road don't have decals, correct?
Correct. Not on the seats, not like this.
Yeah. Well, if it can be done there, and this was back in 2018, it surely can be done on the seats meant for accessibility on our new buses.
So I will take that back to the team to see how we can explore better visibility and because I think I get the message behind these particular decals. It's priority and making sure anybody that gets on the bus understands who those seats are prioritized for. Let me take that back to the team and see how maybe we can incorporate something into what we're doing.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned, these decals appeared on seats back in 2018. And prior to COVID, I also recommended Quantum. I'm glad that we're coming up with that recommendation. Anu, any other hands up?
Yes, Chair Calabria, we have Dr. Posner, Sandy Newsell, and Doris Ray. So Dr. Posner, please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I'm a senior with thin hair, Caucasian. And for the flip seats, the several flip seats that I have seen around the world, some are single flip seats, and some are very easy to raise and very easy to lower. Others are very, very difficult to raise and lower. So I think it's important that you look at how easy they are to employ. The other thing is, in some places, like in Oregon and on the old circulators, the flip seats have been stuck together so that you have to lift all three or four of them at the same time. And that, again, is very difficult to do. And on the circulator, it was used in the wheelchair parking space on the side, but it was very difficult to lift all of them at one time. The other thing that I would recommend is the height of the seats, because the call cords are relatively high, and the seats should be high enough off the floor that the average person with average length arms can reach the call cord to pull it. So those are my only suggestions to be looked at to make sure that flip seats are usable, and secondly, the call cords are reachable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Posner. Next is Sandy, please go ahead.
This is Sandy Newsell, a senior Caucasian woman with generally out of control gray hair. So thank you for the presentation. A comment, I know Tino really likes the decals on the seat themselves, but a possible disadvantage of them being on the seat is that once somebody sits down in them, another person getting on the bus who's looking for the seats for, you know, seniors, people using canes, whatever, might not be able to see which seats are intended for us, that we might sort of nod to the person sitting in the seat and say, may I sit there? Because people do, when buses are crowded, people sit in all the seats. I don't blame them. I would too.
Sandy, there will be decals on the wall or on the window next to the seats as well.
Okay, so given that, this is an additional expense, so I think we should be conservative in our requests to Metro to put two sets of decals, one on the seat and one on the walls or windows. And I second Phil Posner's comment about if there's multiple seats that have to be raised and lowered together for flip-up seats. Again, if somebody is sitting in one or two of the seats that need to be raised and you just need one space and you have to sort of say, please, could you move so that we could raise all three seats at once? I could see how that might become an issue. And perhaps rather than raising the seats to make the call pull cords available, maybe pull cords need to be lowered if seats are already at a standard height. Just a thought. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sandy, next is Doris Ray. Doris, please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Doris Ray, and I live in Virginia, and I'm a native Washingtonian. So congratulations to you also. Anyway, I wanted to say that I am kind of concerned about decals on the seats. First, I thought this issue was going to be something about icons and putting them on all the seats, which I would definitely be against because I think it makes for clutter in the visual environment for people with low vision and or who are legally blind, and I think a steady visual environment is very important, a consistent visual environment. But regarding labeling the seats for priority seating, I think my preference is to be able to see a mock-up, see how it's going to look. And actually, what the visual environment will be in the new buses is important. I'm a regular bus rider, and I am a blind, legally blind person. So thank you for this presentation. I wish that we could have seen them before decisions were made and we were starting with installation. And there's one other thing that I want to mention, both for the visual environment and also just for concerns about kind of the safety environment. I think that I am very concerned when I get on the bus and there are hanging straps for people who are standing. And I've both been a rider and a stander on the bus. So, but I think that some of the buses have straps that are hanging so low that they present a problem when you're trying to take a seat. I really heard about that both on bus and in.
Thank you for that. I'm taking notes as you're sharing your concerns. So we'll definitely look at that.
Okay, thank you, Doris. Chair Calabia, go ahead, please.
Getting back to the decal situation to which my second vice chair, Sandy Neusel, and also Doris have just raised their questions or objections. Let me say that back when I urged looking at the quantum attachments for wheelchairs, people had questions about that too. That may be one of the reasons why the recommendations weren't accepted then, but they're being accepted now. So I don't mind people raising questions about suggestions that I've made, but please do look into the idea. And with regards to Sandy's question, there will be not just decals on the seats, but decals nearby, indicating that those seats are for accessible use. Are there any other questions? With respect to Doris's concerns about hanging straps, we have them on buses now, and they're sort of plastic, very flexible, and even where we have metallic ones, I think on the trains, they kind of bounce back higher so that they're not in the way. They're not only no longer vertical, but they're at an angle away from where passengers would be. So I'm not sure that that would be a serious problem to have hanging straps, as we do in some buses already, and metallic ones on trains. Anu, are there anyone else that want to address this?
Chair Calabia, we do not have any other additional hands up.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. And like you, I'm a native-born Washingtonian, when Sibley was on North Capitol Street, even a long, long time ago. Matter of fact, so long ago that, would you believe, I'm older than Biden. Maybe they should forget nominating me for anything. Anyway, thank you again, Ray, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Yes. And I look forward to seeing one of the buses.
We will have that set up for you, for sure.
Okay.
Thank you, Ray, and I'll share the pictures with you afterwards. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Anu. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Anu, the next topic.
I'm sorry, Chair?
The next topic.
Yes, the next topic is... Metro, the whiteboards in Metro Rail stations, and Cherianne Santos is here to share the update.
Okay, and I did send you this morning another icon, the picture of an icon that I found.
Sure.
It may not be the only one or the best one, but there are available icons of whiteboards that we can consider for applying to the kiosk where a station manager is, and maybe even printing on any new brochures describing the metro system. And now we hear from, did you say
Cherianne Santos?
Yes, Cherianne, it's all yours.
Good afternoon, all. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Cherianne Santos. I am female. I have brown skin, dark brown hair, and I'm currently the Chief Custom Operations Supervisor for Rail Infrastructure Support Services, and I've been with Metro for 18 years. To give you a little bit of the history, I'm here to talk about the whiteboards. About a year ago, we meaning ARTRA, Rail Transportation, put whiteboards with erasable markers in all of the kiosk, in all of the stations. The idea was to have these boards there to help improve communication with deaf or customers who may have difficulty hearing. With the help of some of our customers, we learned, fast forward to earlier this year, we learned that some of those whiteboards were missing. Apparently, customers had gone to station managers and asked for use of the whiteboards, and the station managers couldn't find the whiteboards. That prompted us to do inventory to find out, well, where is all, you know, where are all the whiteboards that was distributed? We learned that as a result of this analysis or survey that we did, we found 24 stations were missing their whiteboards. So we went ahead, we replaced the missing whiteboards with the erasable markers. And we also notified or reminded station managers of the use of these whiteboards. In other words, these whiteboards are not for their primary use of putting customer notes and putting customer notices on. And they are also to be kept in a place where they can be located. One of the problems we found was that one station manager would have it, you know, on the sort of on the counter close to the window. Another one would stick it in the back somewhere. And so one of the things that we asked is that it remain front and present close to where they keep their logbook. That way everyone could locate the board when it's needed. And we had supervisors remind them, you know, that of the use of the boards, you know, they're to be used to help for use with communicating with accessible customers. We also distributed notices and asked the supervisors to have conversations. So one of the things that we realized is that periodically we would have to have a sort of a checks and balance. So we've also included this information in one of the things that they check as they check off. We're looking at how we can, you know, keep this information as one of the items that they are always aware of where it is in the kiosk. Are there any questions?
Do you have the picture of I do have.
This is Rico, and I have a question.
Okay. Go ahead.
One moment, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
While we're waiting, Anu, could you bring up the icon that I sent?
Okay. I do have a question. In the state of New York of the transit system, and in my hometown, Cleveland, they have a call, BRI, stand for Video Remote Interpreter, and all of the station managers from this, okay, in New York. It's a coming call, combo to use, okay? Use combo, whatever service that's had to use. So if a deaf person go up and they cannot find the whiteboard, and this happened to me more than one time, okay? I went to the Union Station, I went to Gallery Place, and I asked for the whiteboard. We don't have it, okay? And this bring to attention to the VRI for people who are deaf, hard of hearing, and I'm very concerned about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anu, would you have the... There it is.
Okay. So just for everyone's convenience, on the screen, we have an image. This is a proposed image by Chair Calabia that shows a whiteboard with blue border. Inside the blue border, on the corners of that blue border is white, indicating that that is a board. Inside of that board is white and a pen in blue and white color is displayed on top of that board. And the indication is that this is a board on which letters can be written by a pen.
Thank you. And this
image was also shared with Cherianne, and we have another
audio now image.
And this is just recommendations. If there is, by the time we go through the recommendations and review, we can see what may be the best image to be placed at an appropriate location within the kiosk or within the station to indicate and inform customers that there is a whiteboard available that is erasable, and people who need to use those whiteboards for communication can write their messages. So this is one image recommended. I'm going to stop sharing and then show another image, which is slightly different. And just like I said, these are just recommendations of the whiteboard. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment, I'm going to display another image.
While she's doing that, Cherianne, back in 2017, I was only a new member, maybe three months there, and asked to escort a board member, a board member from Montgomery County, to view two or three stations on the Red Line. And she and I, the board member and I, asked a station manager at one of the stations to see inspect the whiteboard. And he didn't know there were any, but he did find one, and he said that they were told in recent days, and this was back in 2017, that they would be needed because the then candidate becoming President Trump was about to be inaugurated and people would be asking for it. That was that was his explanation. So obviously he didn't know what it was for, and that's why maybe so many were missing then since then. So really we need to not only make them visible at the kiosk, but any new brochures that describe the Washington Metro Rail system should mention the fact that the whiteboards are available for anyone who needs them. Thank you. And here's another one that, Anu, do you want to describe this one?
Yes, thank you, Chair Calabia. This is Anu. Now, this on the screen, there's a display of a second image that is just a recommendation. The image is of a whiteboard, and this whiteboard is white. There is even the border of the whiteboard is in white color. In the middle of this whiteboard, in black letters, it says assistance here. That indicates for people who may need assistance that they can ask for assistance. Underneath the letters, there is a symbol of international accessibility. Underneath that is a marker, a pen in black and white colors.
Thank you.
Sure. And Chair Calabia, we do have three AAC members with their hands up. Right. And before we move on, did you want to share any further information at this point, or did you want to go ahead and take the questions?
Okay, so let me respond to the concern that the station manager did not know what the board was for. That is one of the reasons that we have put out the notices and that we are continuing to have conversations with the station managers. The goal is that everyone should know what the boards are for and where to find them. So we're hoping that the goal is for that to solve that problem of having station managers not knowing where they are or what they're used for.
Thank you, Sherri-Ann. What I would suggest is to all AAC members and Bus Rail subcommittee members, every so often as you go by a kiosk, just ask the manager. Let's find out if they are on the ball about this. Sherri-Ann and others within staff are now doing a great job at trying to provide them. And we're doing a job trying to make sure that they're seen by people who pass by kiosks as available. But let's check up on whether, in fact, the station managers know about them, have them, and understand what they're for. Thank you, Sherri-Ann. And who are the next ones, Anu, who wanted to ask about this?
Okay, so first we have Denise Rudge, then Doris Ray. Afterwards, we have Vanessa Coles and then Phil Posner. So Ms. Rush, go ahead, please.
I'm Ms. Rush, and my question, and I don't know if this is the proper question for you, Sherri-Ann. Are you in charge of the public restrooms, or who's in charge of the public restrooms? Can we get a name or someone, or Chair Calabia? Can we get a breakdown of what public restrooms are available for the public? It's not just for disability customers, for all customers. We need to know where there are public restrooms and where there are not. And we've been asking for a couple of months, but this needs to be resolved.
Yes, thanks for reminding us. And we've asked about it before. Let's see if Anu can identify a staff member in charge of this matters. And let's formally invite some a person, staff mounted a person to our next bus rail subcommittee. You're right, Denise. This is, you've asked this before. We've asked it before. And let's see what this is being done about, if anything.
Ms. Rush?
Thank you.
Ms. You're Rush, and please know that that is being worked on. And we do plan to have some update for the committee. We do not meet in August, but we do plan to have some information as an update about the restroom status for the committee in September. And I know that you have brought up the topic in past as well. Please do know that it is being worked on, and we do look forward to providing some information that you you will be able to receive and understand and have some substantial information. So
thank you.
Appreciate your patience, but please do wait till September meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next would be Doris Ray. So Doris, go ahead.
Yes, regarding the whiteboards, I was wondering, first I want to say that I commend the idea of having a whiteboard on a checklist, and I'm assuming when the station managers, the kiosk managers, come on board for their shift, that they would be checking off that and other things that they have to have in proper operating order in order to staff and help customers coming to the kiosk. And I hope also that there is some very prominent sign that will announce, on the windows of the kiosk, that would announce the availability of the whiteboard. But I'm wondering if there is such a checkoff list, and that's what you're saying, that when they come to work, that's what they're going to have to do. And I think that that's a good idea. I do want to note that often these days when I come to address the kiosk manager at the kiosk, I am not certain which of the windows I'm supposed to go to, and I am a deafblind person. I'm a person with a significant hearing impairment as well as being legally blind. And so I'm wondering if you can look into that, because there's a lot of glare when you're approaching the kiosk these days because of the hanging signage that is, a white background with, I guess, black letters or whatever. But back to the whiteboards, is there a version of the whiteboard that is, rather than a positive image, rather than a white background with black letters, can you convert it between the positive image and the negative image, so that there's a black background and white lettering? Because many people with vision impairments who still have vision and could use that whiteboard who are deafblind need the contrast of white lettering on a black background. So this is an electronic, kind of whiteboard or laptop, right? So is there the possibility of putting it in the negative image, or just leaving it in the negative image, as it's easier to see for all people? So those are the comments that I had on the whiteboard.
Okay. Unfortunately, we don't have a negative image right now. It's a whiteboard, and because it's a physical thing, we're not able to change the color of it. However, the stations, station managers have recently received tablets. They're a little smaller than the whiteboard, but they are an electronic item, and I can look into how feasible it would be to have maybe a negative background type notice section that, you know, that maybe they can put notes on and communicate that way with the negative background as you described.
I think that's a real good idea because, and particularly looking into the possibility that there's also some kind of keyboard or something, because a lot of people with hearing impairments are used to, you know, typing back and forth, whether it's on TTY or whatever, or using email, and I think it'll make it easier for the customer to be able to actually, you know, communicate more easily with the station manager.
So I'll take that forward and see how feasible, you know, how doable that is. I'm not familiar with the IT aspect of that, but I will look into it.
Thank you, Sharia.
Thank you. Next would be Vanessa Coles and then
Dr. Coles. Audio now unmuted.
Yes, hello. Thank you. My name is Vanessa Coles. I'm a middle-aged Black, I'm African-American. And I have my question is, and I don't use whiteboards, so, but I'm curious, for someone who may have problems with gripping the pen, I've seen systems like at the pharmacy where you can use your finger to sign, other places at registers that use your finger to sign. Does this system have the ability to use your finger to write, you know, in case you lose the pen or, you know, I'm just curious about that.
Okay. So that particular thing that you're talking about, that's a different type of, I'm not sure if it's considered technology, but a long time ago, I remember there was a kid's toy that actually used that sort of a system where you could use your finger and draw on a pad and it would print it out in letters. Don't know how feasible again that is, but I will look into it.
Thank you. Next.
And next would be Dr. Posner.
Yes, good evening. I have always asked the station managers about their whiteboards, and they usually look at me with a blank stare. And then I say, well, how would you communicate with deaf individual? And I say, well, we have these tablets that we can write on and they can write on. And so I think when you're checking, many of them know about them, but they don't know what they're called. So I think it's important to just talk to them about how they communicate. Again, going along with one of the off-the-wall questions, but I used to use that kid's toy, and basically it had a little plastic on the top. You use your finger to write on that, and then you lift the plastic up, and it erases, and then it comes back down. And that is terrific. The other thing would be useful for low vision people is to have some sort of magnifier available. Because sometimes, even on the whiteboard, it may need a magnifying glass to read it. And I know I have seen magnifiers built into the class at certain booths at the bank or at airports. And so it might be possible to have a section of the glass in the booth next to where the speaker is that has magnification capability so it can be held up. And the other thing is, there are relatively inexpensive tablets that are available. When I say relatively inexpensive, inexpensive, $1 to $100, that can be used verbally to write. And there are also apps that can do that in several languages. I know I use one at the Library of Congress when I'm communicating with French, German, Chinese, Spanish individuals. And I speak in English, and it appears both written and verbally in Spanish, Russian, German, French, etc. And so those are well above where we are. But potentially in next year's budget, they might be considered, or if the individual station master, because some of them are very iPhone users and tablet users, they might have their own that they might like to use. Again, there are only three of us at the Library of Congress that use the translator, but it does work. But again, when I send out texts, because my big, fat, tremor-ridden fingers don't work when I try to type on a keyboard or write on one of those little tablets that they give me to sign off at the pharmacy, but I can speak and they understand me. So anyway, those are possibilities. That one, tell the people what the whiteboards are. Don't just call them whiteboards. And then think about the other things that fall within next year's budget.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hi, this is Barbara Millville. I would like to comment, please, on the magnifier that Phil just brought up. As many of you know, I have a hand magnifier with illumination capabilities. It's pretty much attached to my hand. It's in use quite a bit. However, I would like to say that the hand magnification is dependent largely on the user. There's many different magnification levels, and you would need several magnifiers if you're going to customize it for the person's use. I would recommend that the whiteboard be taken out, or the tablet, whatever you're going to use, be taken out of the kiosk and handed to the rider so that they could put it up to where they need it for best visibility. And also, they would likely be bringing their own hand magnifier with them that would meet their needs as best possible.
Understood.
Thank you, Barbara. Doris, I see you have raised your hand again, or do you have additional comments?
Yeah, I do agree with what Barbara just said, and the reason I raised my hand was concern about using whiteboards and or any electronic screen of that kind of sort with a magnifier on top of it. I think it needs to be a device that has some kind of embedded screen magnification, because because if you are using a magnifier on top of something like a computer screen, there's a distortion of the image. It's not like having a static image like a piece of paper, and even that, for many people, it just depends on the person. And so I think I like some of the ideas that Barbara has brought forth. Again, as an experienced person with low vision, I would suggest that. And thank you. And also beta testing. If you're going to go to some kind of device like that, have some of us with different levels of vision disabilities test it before you go buying a whole lot of them.
Okay, thank you, Doris. Sandy, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Sandy, and hopefully this won't be considered heresy for me to say this, since I am a member of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. But I believe our goal is to solve major problems for a significant population. I don't believe that we can solve every problem for every individual. And some individuals need to take responsibility for, like Barbara said, bringing their hand magnifier that works for them with them. I think Phil's concept of translation capabilities is awesome, but again, tourists and, you know, I just think that we can't necessarily solve every problem for every person. I think we need to hit solutions for the majority of people who need some accessibility help. Just a comment.
It is heretic. Anyone?
Thank you, Sandy. Chair Calabria, this is Anna. We do not have any additional hands up at this point.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cheryl. And we look forward to hearing from you again. And maybe you'll drop by and give us a status report as you have today. Thank you very much, Cheryl Ann.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Cheryl Ann. As always, you are, whenever we invite you to give us an update, you're very accommodating and you come quickly with the updates and information. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
And at this point, Chair Calabria, it's time for the committee to discuss the work plan.
The what?
The bus and rail subcommittee work plan.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, who wants to start?
Sandy, I see your hand is up. And Dr. Posner?
I forgot to put my hand down. Go ahead, okay. Phil.
Dr. Posner,
yes, I was just unmuting myself. Yes. We have passed July 1st, so the new budget is in place. So I suggest that the committee look at everything in the new budget that is referred to bus and rail. And having gone through that, decide which parts of it should be in the work plan, because that is critical.
Good idea.
And the other thing is, Tino, you and Steve and Patrick are on the new bus project and all those other things that are going on. So I think following that is something that needs to be done. And as you get to specific areas in that particular project, in addition to following up and reporting on it, see what needs further investigation and where it will affect the different jurisdictions and follow up on that. And of course, the things that are currently being done, such as the wayfinding and communication. Communication, communication, communication for all members of the Bus and Rail Riders Committee. So it's now up to you to put in a plan. And I know you are going to have visitors from the bus projects and from the budget, et cetera, come September. So see if you can, during the month of August, get together and put down ideas so that when the board and WMATA administrative people come in September, Bus Rail will have a series of projects for them to look at. And then ask them what they would like us to do at the bus rail level. Thank you. I have just given everybody a bunch of work to do, and I'm not doing anything. So it's good to be ex officio.
Yes, but thank you, Phil, for that. I'm glad you mentioned that the new fiscal year has begun. and there's a major partnership focusing on the upcoming budget and the future. And indeed, it's called, and I forget what the acronym stands for, but it is DMV slash MOVES, M-O-V-E-S. And we ought to find out what the status is. We don't meet in August, but in September, our GM, Randy Clark, is expected to come. And maybe we should know, as we can during the interim, what the DMV MOVES is doing, and whether they're going to try and revamp the whole transit system amongst the WMATA, Ride On, the Connector, etc., or whether they're going to look at some other way of coming up with designated funding. But anyway, other members, do you have ideas for the the coming year?
Yeah, Tino, DMV is District of Maryland, Virginia, and Paul Snedberg is going to chair that for the board. DMV MOVES. Paul is not the chair anymore. Ms. Santos is the new chair of the board as of June. And Paul is the head of DMV MOVES. And again, inviting him to come, he is great in talking to.
He's visited a couple of times, and he's very open and friendly about the needs we have for information and our recommendations. Let's see.
This is Anu. Sandy, did you raise your hand?
Yes. Now that I've collected my thoughts, I raised my hand. And yes, okay. I want to follow up on Phil's comments about wayfinding and communications are very important. Sarah Myers, I think we need to continue working with her about the wayfinding signs. She's very cooperative, very helpful, very responsive. And on the communications front, I think we need to be sure that there is, I know Doris Ray has mentioned this from time to time, sort of guidebooks on online information for Metro Access. There also needs to be online information for bus and rail if you need accessibility help, if you have mobility issues, if you have hearing issues, if you have vision issues. I think we ought to have some, we need to sort of recheck, and I confess I don't look at the Metro website as often as I do, but we need to make sure that there's information there and that it's up to date for anybody with accessibility issues, that they can easily find. For instance, in the station, you can go to the station master's kiosk and ask for a whiteboard, things like that. We need to have that online. That's my thoughts.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. Next is Denise Rush. Ms. Rush, please go ahead.
This is Ms. Rush. I want to make sure we still get an update on the maps for the restrooms and which ones are for public or not. I want to make sure we don't forget. I know we said in September, but I want it on the work log, please.
It's on the list, Ms. Rush.
Denise, we're not just focusing on September or October. We're focusing on the coming program year. So you're right to emphasize that. And we've been slow to get any help from staff, that is outside staff, about what they're doing about the toilets, et cetera. Is there anyone else, Anu?
Doris Ray just raised her hand. Doris, go ahead.
Hi. I think we should put on our work plan someplace a review of, a look at the station lighting environments in light of new additions, signage and such, which are part now of the lighting environment, and have changed some of the things maybe that we thought we were achieving in changing the station lighting. I've talked to some of my peers in the blind and low vision communities, and there are concerns out there, and particularly things like whether we can actually read the PEDs and find out when the next train is coming, and also in navigating stations. So I'd like to look at, you know, some kind of review of where we are. And I think it needs to be two-pronged, one looking at the conditions in the inside stations, and also looking at the lighting environments in the outside stations, and particularly the newer stations using all the natural light and such up on the Silver Line. And so that leads me to the second thing I wanted to say. I think that Ms. Rush is right. We need to know about the policy regarding the use of restrooms and which are public and which are not, because it's been a long time. But once they opened Silver Line, and the stations going west of East Falls Church, which was an existing station anyway, my understanding was the only guarantee for public restroom usage that was open to the public were those Silver Line and newer stations. And then there was some allowance at some stations for people to use the restrooms, but whether it was going to be a publicly well announced policy in some publications or on the website about which stations were open, had their restrooms open to the public in the, you know, existing stations before the Silver Line, was something we discussed, but it seems like it really hasn't come to fruition in terms of people in the public knowing what the policy is. And I think, you know, to cut down on any confusion right now, it should probably be one of the earliest things that we bring to discussion and begin putting out some public information about. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Doris. Next is Philippa. Philippa, go ahead, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I think, yes, I agree we need to continue to look at some of these stations with the signage. I was quite pleased with the changes I saw at L'Enfant on the lower level when I had to use it. I'm no longer terrified of that station. The static signs on the pillars and the dynamic signs, you know, are very, very helpful. So, but I do remember the last time I was at Federal Triangle, you go down on the center platform and there was absolutely nothing telling you which train to take in terms of the stops. It just told you the destination of the train on the right or the train on the left, but not knowing where I am necessarily in terms of on the line, you know, that I didn't find that helpful. And that's a line that station that's used a lot by tourists because it's close to the mall. So I think if it hasn't already been done, that needs to be fixed. I think that was, I was going to say it took 5 years to finally get the response to get the signage on the pillars at L'Enfant Plaza on the lower level. So that maybe this will take 5 years about these super bright lights on some of these escalators, including the ones at U Street, Cardozo. It continues to be blinding trying to go down that escalator. So we need to probably look at a lot of the lighting along the way of the system so that, you know, we can have something to take to Metro to ask for some improvement. Thank you.
Sure, go ahead, Chair Calabria. Thank you, Philippa.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The whole business about wayfinding, that is in terms of the signage we viewed with Sarah Myers, which was where I thought very admirable. Maybe there was much to do, well, a little to do afterwards. But that whole thing reminds me of the fact that a couple of years back, we had this London-based consultant team that told us they would have for at least wheelchair users a wayfinding mechanism used in which you use your phone, and they had already programmed your steps along the way to get to the correct bus at a multi-bus terminal, and that you could even leave the station and it would tell you which way you're going, that sort of, whatever happened to that London-based team?
Hi, Tino, this is Barbara Millville. Again, I will give you a very brief update on that. As of this time, the Waymap people from the UK have scanned all of the stations inside and out into their app, and we are working with them. It is not Metro's app, but there has been testing done by users of affiliated with the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. So it is a very large project, and we commend the Waymap folks for partnering with us and continuing their good work. Barbara, we want to make sure that it is doing the job that it is supposed to be doing, directing people who have low vision or are blind, navigating around the rail stations and bus loops safely and accurately before it is rolled out. And they are also doing the same thing in the LA Transit and others. So it is, in our opinion, it is the best that it can be. There are other blind GPSs out, but they are not as well thought out and detail oriented as this one.
Thank you, Barbara. As a matter of fact, they were so far along that Steve and I visited the Brooklyn station where they were doing a show and tell. As a matter of fact, it was a big project. They had officials from various jurisdictions. They had,
that's right.
And that was at least maybe 2 years ago or more.
Yes, it's a very large project, and you can imagine with 98 stations and a lot of our stations, like say Union Station, Franconia, Springfield, they're quite large. And when you have to go through all of the bus bays and things like that, it's anything that would be customer facing that needs to go into that system. Go ahead.
To backtrack, the major effort was to enable wheelchair users to go from a train to the correct bus platform. But I thought that it would be to enable others and not just wheelchair users. Am I right?
The initial goal is for navigation on foot for those who have low vision or who have substantial vision loss. And of course, we cannot ignore the deafblind population and users who use mobility devices. It's going to be a work in progress. Each user, upon downloading the app, will be asked to calibrate their steps. Right. So something like a wheelchair user, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? And yeah. So that would make each step is not the same, yours and mine. So that will right. make, they always say garbage in, garbage out. Well, that's the purpose of the calibration.
Yes. Well, Barbara, I know even before the big Brookland presentation, I think Denise and I certainly went to one of the Virginia stations where they showed us how it would operate. And at that point, they only had that one station. I forget which one it was. Could you let us know when it seems useful to have them come back? Do we have to wait till all the stations are ready or what?
Well, we can give you another report in September.
Well, not September.
I want to say that you can, if you have an Apple phone, you can download the app yourself. It's in your store, Waymap, WAYMAP. And, you know, give it a whirl for yourself. The ultimate goal is to take somebody from their home or any place where they are and then direct them via walking directions along the sidewalk to, for example, a metro bus stop. And then they get on the bus and then they take that to the metro rail station. And then, of course, since the metro rail station is not most people's final destination, then it will direct them to a restaurant or pharmacy, etc. So you can imagine a Waymap has to also input all of that data to those yeah. outside points of interest, as they're called.
Yes.
And Dr. Calabria, this is Anu. Earlier, as Barbara was mentioning, you said not September, but just as a reminder, we do not have any meetings in August. So
no.
The bus and rail meeting will be in September.
Yeah. Well, we have the GM in September, so I don't want to outcrowd him.
So the general manager will be coming to the AAC meeting. And the Waymap can be at the bus and rail subcommittee. However, we still have time to schedule and see how we'll make sure that this agenda is adequate as we always do.
Okay. Okay. But don't forget Denise's request that we have something regarding the availability of toilets. I did send out a great.
I have that on the list, yes.
Yeah. You may remember several months ago, Washingtonian Magazine published an article with, I think, 16 stations and pictures of each station, the bathrooms. I'll resend that out. It was amazing to see that this guy had visited so many stations and had taken pictures. But I'd like our members to look more closely to see if the pictures show whether there are enough grab bars and that kind of thing too.
Okay.
Well,
continuing on with the work plan, we have Doris and then Ms. Rush. So Doris, go ahead.
If you say me?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay. So a couple of other things that I think are important. One is what I think you just mentioned about Tino, which is the gap between the platform and the train. I think we need to be having that on our agenda to discuss, particularly in relationship to the purchase of the new 8,000 series trains and how we can continue to lessen that gap as we get new trains and as we go forward in station design. And I also perceive in recent usage of the train that that it at least feels like to me that the current timing of doors opening and closing to let people on and off is really fast. The headway is really fast. And I think we should investigate that both for people with physical disabilities who are using mobility devices as well as blind and low vision riders and seniors. I think that I forgot the other thing I was going to mention right offhand. But some of these older issues that we have had before and aren't resolved yet, we need to resolve them in the context of going forward and making and modernizing the stations as we go.
This is Doris, and thank you for bringing that up, the dwell time of trains at stations. We will surely have representation to discuss that topic as well. In the meanwhile,
and actually, not just how long they're stationed there, but what the timing is for the closing of the doors.
Sure, correct.
You know, because sometimes there's a hesitation once you get in. Train is hesitating a little bit more, but the opening and closing of the doors on a regular basis seems to be fast.
Sure, I understand. And what I was actually going to say further is that stations have different dwell times depending upon the ridership.
I know what the other thing
okay,
was.
Go ahead.
The other thing was we need to bring up the situation of repair of elevators so that they're in good maintenance and don't break down, and that the response to that is not so delayed as it has been sometimes. And the other issue surrounding that is stations that are in the original core, like stations like Courthouse or Clarendon in Arlington, or you know others that are straight up the line, their elevators are frequently breaking down. And yet we have no progress on getting, you know, a second set of elevators at stations like Courthouse, so that there's some redundancy if elevators do go down. And I know that is our relationship and the financing with the jurisdictions, but I think the leadership of WMATA needs to be putting focus on that to give people a better chance to have access to stations where right now there's only one elevator.
Thank you. Denise has her hand up still.
Yes. Ms. Rush, go ahead, please.
Denise, you're mute. There she is.
Okay. This is Ms. Rush again. I forgot to ask about for the work plan an update on the bus stops. There are a lot of bus stops that the jurisdictions own. We need to know which ones we can get fixed or which ones we cannot. And two summers ago, I went down to National Harbor
And it told me everything, and next bus, and I'm standing at the bus stop and everything. But there's so many that don't have that. And we need an update on the bus stops, the jurisdictions, what's going on with them, or are they going to ever be updated with information to tell you where you are, or just a bus stop update? Can we put that on the work plan?
Sure.
Yeah, can I get this, Anu? And just want to put a recommendation for the committee to consider or think about, and then perhaps we can correspond via email going forward. When we invite the regional transit agencies, for instance, Prince George's County or Fairfax County, is not just to invite the planning office or the transportation departments. We can, at the same time, we can dedicate that day, that meeting at the bus rail, to also discuss the regional bus stops. And perhaps different offices from a jurisdiction can come and present to the committee.
Okay, excellent suggestion. Yes. Thomas? Thomas has his hand up.
Yeah. I was wondering, can we suggest for different subway stations that that's more difficult for people in wheelchairs to get around to the next train or even get out of the place, like Life Park Plaza? You got to go to a lot more effort to get out of there or even transfer to the other side once you get at Life Park Plaza. So I'm asking for more signage to let people know where you could go to get out and where you could go to transfer to the train that you need to transfer on. Because there's a lot of places that make it difficult for people like myself and others that use wheelchairs.
Thomas, I should remind you that we had an opportunity to visit L'Enfant Plaza in particular. We found that the changes that were made, obviously they were on a temporary basis, seemed admirable. There are still some changes that will come. But we had that opportunity. I'm sorry you weren't there, but that opportunity was there. And Sandy Newsel has outlined what we were going to see, what we saw, and what we still need to happen. And they're moving on to another station now.
This is Sandy. Can I jump in and say, and I did not really address wheelchairs in my comments, but this is a good reminder that this is something that should be possibly on the Metro website, you know, L'Enfant Plaza, wheelchair, you know, and then some information about how to transfer. Because I know that is a challenging one. The station manager walked me through to show me how difficult it is. But
there actually is wayfinding. This is Barbara Millville again. There actually is wayfinding directions on the website for that station.
But that's basically on the website, but that's not at the station for people who's visiting or people that might not be able to get on to the website because some disability that they might have, but need to be in the station also, what have you. And I'm sorry that I wasn't there for y'all when y'all went there, what have you, because you know I would have pointed out stuff if I was there. But I hadn't long came back from a trip, if that was recent.
Yeah,
no. So I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and I apologize.
Yeah. Well, it's already.
Rico, and I have a comment.
No, I'm away to public comment. That's my question. I have a question on public comment.
Okay, why don't we go to the Prince George County item? Do we have the people? Well, I know Denise is here, and I think there was April and another passenger who said that they were interested in this. Could we get to that now, Anu?
Yes, please go ahead, because we have 5 minutes before we begin our public comment section.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Denise, you have been bringing this up about the bus deficit in Prince George's County, and I did ask my district delegate, who actually chaired a transportation committee in Annapolis, for recommendations, and he gave me the recommendations, and I don't have them on my screen at the moment, but one was named Amber, and one was, I think, Janice. Am I right?
Yes, and they are in Florida at the blind convention at this time.
I'm on the line.
Are you on the line? Who is Amber?
This is Janice Samuel.
Okay. Oh, Janice Samuel. Okay. Because Amber is in Florida at the convention.
Well, in any event, I'm going to write to the delegate, or you, Denise, because you're in PG County. But either one of us should do it. We need to invite one or both of those contacts Mark Foreman suggested, and we need to determine a meeting place, probably in PG County, where they, or at least one of them, can meet with us to hear a description of the problem. Denise, am I right? Janice?
Well, yes. I spoke with her, and the reality is, if you want a bus to go down 210 or any route, you have to have participants who are using the bus regularly. We're not just talking about disability community, we're talking about the public.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You don't fill up a bus full of gas and you have two, three, four riders every day. You gotta have people who are going to work, who are going to the doctors, who are using it regular to justify the usage of that line. And you gotta think about that. Do you have enough people? They're not coming to the hearings, they're not coming to the meetings. They have to realize you have to justify filling that bus up with gas. And if you don't have participants who are doing that, you can't expect them to go down 210 Branch Avenue or nowhere else.
Okay,
well, I totally agree with you, but as far as participants coming to the hearings, if they're not advertised and there's no marketing done so that people can know that this is something that we need to address, they're not going to show up.
Well,
I know I talked to a lot of people and they want it, but they're not working for it. So I think that we can write and ask them to come and talk and explain it to us, but I'm telling you, that's the reality. We can't fill up the bus with gas for two or three or four people, because even the handicapped, you know, this disability community, once the bus goes down there, then they'll use Metro Access. We need public regular riders to ride every day and use the service and need the service.
May I interject that,
yes,
that Ms. Rush, well, I was just going to say Ms. Rush is absolutely right. And that dynamic goes on here in Virginia as well, and all of the jurisdictions, because they're the ones who are paying for it. They want to see their voters at that hearing so that they have people who can support the expenditure of the operating subsidies. So, you know, that's, that is a very, very important thing.
Right. Well, Marston, I'm not from PG County. I appreciate what you just said. Well, what do we do now? I mean, I thought you wanted a meeting with some elected officials to help us out. I guess we're not
ready. I do, but I also have to realize that at that last hearing, there were two representatives about 210 and Branch Avenue. And I said, wait a minute. I wouldn't fill up my car for this. I wouldn't fill up a bus.
Right. And Ms. Russ, this is Janice Samuel. I appreciate that you've talked to a lot of people, but you didn't talk to me. I didn't know. And so I'm sure there are other people who didn't know, who didn't turn out. And in general, to the hearings, a small number, a small population tend to turn out to hearings. When we had the budget cuts, you know, we had a lot of people come out to the hearings, but if you split it up by jurisdiction, it really wasn't a lot of people. So I think, you know, yeah, we know that you're not going to fill up a bus and they're not going to send a bus down 210 and it's only got one person on it, but things are going to catch on. So I do think we do need to request a meeting with these officials and, you know, let them tell us that, which we already know, and let us have the dialogue to ask, well, how do we compromise? Where do we go from here? Because in this community, we have a lot of people who are trying to go down 210. We have a lot of people in Upper Marlboro, Bowie, Largo, who can't get around on weekends because there's no bus service. And, you know, the first day one that you put the bus on the road, it's not going to be full of people. People have to learn that it's available and people have made other arrangements to get where they're going. So it's got to have time to take a foothold. So I think let's start with a meeting. We all understand that that Metro isn't going to put out a bus that, it, you know, when they pay for gas, they pay for the driver, they pay for maintenance for the vehicle. We know that. But what can we do to resolve this?
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
This is Anu. In the interest of time, because we are at 5:48, would you like to pause this topic for a quick moment and we can determine how many members of the public we have? No.
Yeah, Anu, they have to be enabled to talk to us. Go.
All right. Again, if any members of the public would like to make any comments, please do so now. Please tell us now, and we can take your comments in the order received. I know Dancy wants to make comments. However, we will take comments from the AAC members after we have taken comments from any members of the public. And if we do not have any members of the public who would like to give comments, then we can begin with the AAC members. Therefore, we will go to Rico. Rico, when you start speaking, the timer will begin. So please go ahead.
So my question is people, because I work on Saturdays, So if people work on Saturdays, if they want to use the regular train or buses, how do we get more service for the train if they have to be working at 7 o'clock in the morning? Thank you.
Okay, and just for clarity, you're trying to determine how to request train service before 7 a.m. on weekends.
Because a lot of people are going to be work at 7. If they get 7, how they gonna get there?
Okay.
If the train don't open a 2-7.
Okay, sure. And that's a fair question. That is something we can obviously put that in the minutes, and when the budget session begins again, which will be soon, feels like we finish one budget session and then the next one begins shortly after. So that is something you can surely raise your comments at that point and request additional service or train service to begin before 7 because it has to be approved.
Okay. Don't they have a director board meeting this month, or it hasn't passed yet?
The board of directors meeting is next Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Vanessa, I see your hand is up. Did you want to make public comments?
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to add to the, I'm sorry about that, to the idea of bringing more bus availability in communities. I've lived in my home for over 30 years, Preachy County, and every time we try to get more buses, the communities say no. They don't want access like that to our community. So a lot of it depends on what the community wants as far as 210 going out of that direction. Some people, they don't want the buses to extend.
Wow. Really?
No, not in this community. They want to keep the community quiet, and they don't want easy access to the community. They don't want movie theaters. I have a very active community, and they participate in anything that is presented to them. They don't want vendors out here. So some communities don't want that.
Oh, okay. Well, next.
Okay, next would be Doris Ray. So Doris, go ahead. When you start speaking, the timer of 2 minutes will begin.
I would suggest, both as a member of the AAC and as a user of public transit, that one of the solutions, hopefully, that would help the situation for raising issues of demands for services and needs for services and bus routes is to, for the AAC to make some strong comments to the board, and discuss it first and make some strong comments to the board about the communications plan currently used to hold hearings, and particularly the service cuts and realignment hearings that happen during the fall. Those hearings should be have the same importance for informing the public that they're going to be held, when and where they're going to be held, and most importantly, to give enough time for all the organizations in the community and the elected officials who put out their own newsletters and websites and stuff, such, to be able to announce those hearings and to schedule them at a time when the public can get to those hearings. In other words, holding those hearings at 5 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, right during commuting time, is a recipe for low attendance, and I think, and it makes it even harder for the disability community. So I think that's one thing that we could try to advocate for at the WMATA level. We have been, but I think we need to do it earlier, sooner, and take it to the board if we need to, and be very strong about it, because people aren't able to get out there.
Okay, thank you, Doris.
Because of lack of of information about when they're going to be held and even trying to get there during the regular commuting period and not holding the hearings at the time when most jurisdictions hold their own hearings at 7 or 7:30 in the evening.
All right. Thank you, Doris.
Or even hold them on weekends. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Janice, I see you have raised your hand. So let's take your comments before Philippa's. And when you start speaking, your timer will begin.
Thank you. I'm commenting in response to Vanessa's comment about some communities who don't want buses coming in their communities. And I understand that, and that is so. But that doesn't mean that its residents want to be trapped and don't have transportation during the weekends or the times that these buses aren't running in their communities. And I understand, you know, Mr. Blake has drilled it into us that this is a parallel transit system, but some exceptions have to be made, because what you have is disabled persons who do not drive, who are not capable of driving, who will never be able to drive, who are trapped in their homes on the weekends. And in my case, I don't know, some exceptions been made because Metro buses don't come out here at all. So Metro Access has made an exception for Monday through Friday. So they can do it for Sunday through Saturday. So discussion, we have to go back to the table and have these discussions, because people are being forced to live in certain communities so that they can have free, and I don't mean free monetary, I mean free ability to travel.
Okay, thank you, Janice. Philippa, you're up next, so go ahead, please.
Hi, mine is more a public question than a comment. I don't travel the Red Line that much, and I'm just not familiar. Is the Red Line shut down from Fort Totten north or from some other point north of Fort Totten? Oh, see, I don't feel bad now. I thought I should know this, but
sorry, I'm just trying a blank at the moment.
This is Carrion. I'm still here.
Cool.
I can help with the answer to that.
Thank you.
The line shut down. It's from Glenmont to Fort Totten. So it includes Glenmont Station, Wheaton, Forest Glen, and it used to include Tacoma. However, Tacoma reopened last week.
Right. Okay. Glenmont to Fort Totten. So that means there's no Red Line train to Union Station or Rhode Island Avenue.
No, that kind of... Not directly from Glenmont, no. So okay. For right now, you would have to take the shuttle. They're running shuttle buses. So you would take a shuttle from Glenmont or Wheaton or Forest Glen.
But what if you're at Metro Center and you're trying to get to, say, Union Station or Rhode Island?
Well, there is an express shuttle from Tacoma and Fort Totten that goes directly to Metro Center.
Okay, so how do you get to Fort Totten on the Green Line, I guess?
If you're on the Red Line, Fort Totten is a Red Line
station. Red Line.
It's a Red Line shutdown, really.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But I'm saying, all right, I'm just trying to get from Metro Center to Union Station. So you're saying I would need a shuttle, or I have to up to?
You could take the train from Union Station to Metro Center. That's not affected.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, wait a minute. You say Glenmont to Fort Totten.
Glenmont is at the end of the state, the Red Line. At the way up top.
Right. So that's okay. Glenmont. Got you. Okay. All right. I'm thinking of Greenbelt. I'm sorry. Okay. Glenmont, Fort Totten. Okay. Now I got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Philippa, this is Barbara Millville. If you would like to, you can go to WMATA.com and the trip planner will be on the homepage. You could put in you're from and to destination, and it will tell you all you need to know about the shutdown and like where you'd have to catch the bus bridge if applicable.
Okay, so I did try to go to WMATA.com, but I didn't know to go to, what are you saying, MapFinder?
Trip Planner.
Trip Planner, okay.
Yep, it says from, and then say you're going from your home, you put in your home address, and then the destination. If you want Glenmont Rail Station, put that in, and then press gotcha. Plan My Trip, and it should spit out some details and all the track work, not track work, the red line shutdown will be in there. So you don't need to okay. go anywhere else to figure that out.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nadia, it is 6 p.m. at this time. And I just want to state that any members of the public, if you would like to send your public comments through email, you can at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's metroaacchair@wmata.com. Or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement. Thank you.
And that concludes the meeting because we're already over time. So unfortunately, we don't even need to have an adjournment mode. This meeting is over. It's passed over. Thank you.
1 minute.